reading from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness overcometh it not. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Eugene O'Neill was one of the great playwrights of the last century and a Nobel laureate to boot. Like most playwrights, O'Neill did his best to capture the spirit of the times more than merely writing plays that told people what they wanted to hear. For example, in O'Neill's play, Long Day's Journey into Night, he makes what I think is a most unsettling statement. We are, he wrote, born into the brightest light we will ever know. And from that point on, the shadows begin to gather. And the shadows deepen as we move further and further into life until finally we come to total darkness. And into that total darkness, we helplessly slip. I get where O'Neill was coming from. If there's anything these past 9 months have taught us, it's just that right when you think that things are looking up and good times are around the bend, something totally unexpected will come your way, something like a coronavirus, something that will knock the props out from under you, plunging you into pitch darkness, a darkness that is so profound that you do not know if or when it is ever going to end. But on this most holy of nights, we stand in the very midst of the darkness and we dare to ask the question that is on everybody's heart. Will this darkness have the last word? Will this darkness consign us to a future that holds no hope, no peace, no joy, no love? And the answer is no. Not according to the promise of God, the promise of God fulfilled in the person of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, and our Christ and our Lord, the child who was born into this world at a time of intense darkness and brought to bear upon that darkness a source of light that the darkness would not and never will overcome. This evening, I've read for you the opening verses of the Gospel of John. And you should know that while most students of the New Testament wouldn't consider this passage to be an account of Jesus' birth in, say, the same way as those more familiar verses in Matthew and Luke, I'd say that this passage from John, the first chapter, at least points us to the significance of the nativity of Jesus and how it shows the manner in which Christ's birth stands at the midpoint between the beginning of all creation and the unfolding of that new creation that Jesus always makes possible for those who would receive him. In other words, Jesus is the manifestation of the light that God, way back in the book of Genesis, had introduced at the very beginning of creation when the earth was formless and empty, and when darkness, profound darkness, was over the surface of the deep, that same chaos and confusion that God overcame in creation with his divine pronouncement, "Let there be light," is why the birth of Jesus merits our most glad celebration. For Jesus' presence assures us that regardless of how bewildering or disconcerting or disorienting our everyday existence can get, when we trust those very moments to Jesus, it's not so much that we are condemned to some sort of long day's journey into night, as much as it is we are ushered into a new day of promise, of hope. For as John tells us, speaking of Jesus, it is his light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness overcomes it not. Any life that is illumined by the light of Jesus' presence is delivered from all darkness, is redeemed from the chaos and the confusion that darkness always brings. You know, there's a lot about life that we tend to take for granted. That's because electricity has spoiled us. And unlike in ancient times, light in our day is practically always within our reach. But as we have all experienced from time to time, there's a glitch in the power source. Something happens to cut off the flow of electricity, and in those moments we find ourselves in the most uncomfortable darkness, which requires us to turn to a match or a candle, a flashlight, or a cell phone, just something that will dispel the darkness, even if just for a moment, until the power is restored and life can get back to some semblance of normal. That's sort of how I feel on this Christmas Eve. Our custom here at Mount Brook Baptist Church is always to end this Christmas Eve service with the passing of the Christ light, and everyone holding up candles as we sing "Silent Night, Holy Night." But this year, there are no candles. And that's because the spike in coronavirus cases has made it far too dangerous to have everyone removing their mask to blow out the candles. And so, as we say in 2020, in an abundance of caution, we're dispensing with the candles, but hopefully just for this year. When I had to make that decision, my first thought was, well, there goes Christmas Eve. But not necessarily. It may well be that as we sit in the darkness on this holy night, we can better appreciate the light of the one candle that sits in the middle of our Advent wreath, the candle that represents Christ, the light of life, the light of the world. And maybe from such a vantage point, we can understand in an even more pronounced way what John was getting at when he said that this light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And maybe, just maybe, we can come to believe even more fully that God in Christ is indeed with us in the midst of our darkness, to see us through every struggle, every heartbreak, every setback, every disappointment. That may have been what the woman I once heard about was doing when two weeks after Christmas, she had invited a friend over for coffee and conversation, and the friend noticed that the woman had left up one lighted Christmas ornament, which the friend assumed that her hostess had forgotten about. We've all done such a thing, have we not? In our haste to get all the decorations down before New Year's Day, because that's bad luck, we sometimes inadvertently miss one ornament, one decoration. But in this case, the woman had not forgotten. Oh no, she explained. I know it's there. I didn't forget. It's just that every Christmas when I'm cleaning up all the mess, putting up all the decorations, I choose one ornament, one lighted ornament to remind me that Jesus is the light of the world, not just one day or even one year. Jesus is the light of the world forevermore. So perhaps the playwright was correct when he said that we are born into the brightest light that we will ever know, and from that point on, the shadows begin to gather. But when you are born again, when you are born from above, from that point on, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness overcomes it not. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever, which is, in a nutshell, what Christmas is all about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.